claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer, David Scorpio, Giuseppe Bafangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
We're doing our best to cope with the echo issues, but obviously with not 100% success. We had originally scheduled Edward Hendry for today, but Giuseppe and I got our wires crossed when he told me he was...
Jim, you're muted somehow. Did you mute Skype?
Yes, yes, trying to deal with the echo issue. I'm terribly sorry that we are not 100% successful in dealing with the echo issue. We have an unusual development here. Edward Hendry was to be our guest, but when I reached out to confirm with him, he explained he couldn't make it today. Giuseppe and I had our wires crossed when he told me he had Hendry booked. I thought that meant he was already signed on the dotted line. But the loss of Hendry, whom we're going to reschedule, gave an opportunity for return engagement from Dennis Camino today, which I'm sure will delight the audience. I want to begin by kicking Dennis an easy question. I was astonished watching on a national broadcast Kim Jong-un at some celebration in Korea, and it's not the original guy. He's much thinner. He's a little taller. His facial features are different. I turned to my wife, and she thought this was just some kooky observation, but I guarantee 100%. And another source has told me that his sister had him taken out. Dennis.
Yeah, I'd seen a thing on, I forget what website it was, about, I want to say 4 or 5 days ago. I wasn't even looking for information about him, and then there was a picture of him that popped up, and the face was thinner for sure. It wasn't as pudgy, but I didn't get a chance to look at the whole, you know, him standing up next to anything else to get a gauge about whether or not it was him or not. But it wouldn't surprise me that, you know, I mean, not saying that that can't happen in the Untitled Snakes, as they call it, because it certainly did in 1963, but and before that probably even, but it wouldn't shock me in a regime like that. But let's talk about regimes, you know, relative to, you know, pot calling the kettle black. I mean, how can we can be all over those people in North Korea for murdering and installing a placebo, you know, in the spot, but that doesn't wash the hands of the people over here that are not beyond that. In other words, we don't live in a country where regime change by the end of a gun barrel or a knife blade or an ice pick into the back of the skull can't be done or hasn't been done. And even in the past, we've even had one president blown to bits by his Russian girlfriend, but nobody talks about it because they weren't aware of it. So, I mean, we've had lots of skullduggery, you know, in our cloakrooms in the United States. So, I mean, nothing surprises me about North Korea, but comparing them, you know, trying to pretend that it's preposterous in an American standard is ludicrous. And I'm sure that the Brits have got the same, their same tawdry and hidden in the back rooms or off the mainstream media, as they call it, radar scope. So this would not surprise me. But like I said, I saw that picture. The face was considerably thinner, but I didn't get a chance to look at the ears because ears are a good biometric measuring tool if we have ever had a good side shot of his head. And the new guy, whoever that is, if he's been switched out, to see if the ear structures are the same, because I don't think that they'd have time to do plastic surgery on the dude and get the ears cropped or whatever you have to do, because ears are so distinctive, it's unlikely that two different people are going to have the same exact ear shape. So we'll be able to find out if we ever get some good photography of the new one, but go ahead, Jim.
Well, no, Dennis, it's very clear it's not the same guy. I mean, I was fairly astonished to discover it. By the way, Giuseppe, you haven't changed the image back to the group, which you want to do. I'm wondering, very good, would we be able to deal with this echo issue if Dennis were to call in to Mitchell? I'm very surprised we still have it.
You're the cause of the echo, Jim, not Dennis.
How am I? I'm not even on, connecting. I'm via Skype.
Well, you're still, do you have the audio? Where's your audio coming from? Multiple sources or just Skype only?
Skype only.
You're not hearing StreamYard's audio? I mean, you muted your mic, but what about what's coming through your speakers?
Well, if I mute what's coming through my speaker, I can't hear the conversation. I mean,
yeah, you really need to get some earbuds or headphones. I mean, that's will solve it. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, let's go back to Dennis and see. Let me toss him another question, and I'll see if I can get a headset connected here. Dennis, we've had the expose that General Milley was sabotaging Trump in his role as chief of staff. He was reaching out to other world leaders, including of China, to the Speaker of the House, to the Majority Leader in the Senate. I mean, this is astonishing stuff. Actually, Schirmer at the time was a minority leader, but I mean, this is such a clear case of sabotage. Can you address it?
Actually, when I saw him in Lafayette Square in his BDUs trotting around, you know, like a ruptured chicken, a rubber chicken, actually. It was obscene, and it was, later on for him to make the apology that he didn't know anything about it till the last second or something like that. That's absurd and preposterous for him to make that claim. So I haven't trusted him since the very beginning of this for other reasons than you guys probably, but he doesn't cut the mustard as far as being a person sitting on a chair at the Joint Chiefs of Shaft, as I call it, that should have that kind of responsibility. I think he's unfit to serve, and secondarily, on top of being unfit to serve, he probably should be trucked for treason for the kind of stuff that he's done. Like I said, and I'm on the other fence with him, but on a fence that says that he's currently, as he's been coming out in all these book things, I don't know if you know, it seems like the networks are falling on top of themselves and doing backflips trying to get him off the hook for being such a complete piece of shit. But he fails the test in every respect. And if he would have been in the military, particularly during the time that I served, if he would have been on board the ship or part of the task group or anything like that, somebody would have dogging wrenched him on the side of the head and thrown his ass over the side, and that would have been the end of him. But he's not somebody I'd be proud to be pointing a finger at. He's just such a completely anathema to everything that you want to expect of military leaders. Not that after Barry Satoro completely purged like 320 officers who openly said they wouldn't fire on American civilians. That's why he culled them out and got rid of them. That for Milley to still be on the Joint Chiefs of Staff and walk, walking around and parading around like a doll, it's obscene. And the other issue with him is that he had to be in charge in some level. And when you put a helicopter, down that low on top of a crowd like they did at Lafayette Square, that's a very dangerous issue. Not that the rotor blast is dangerous, but if that helicopter would have gone down, it would have probably killed by beheading and debris moving at a great deal of speed. Probably would have killed more than 100 people that were present. But whether or not you agree with their reasons for being at that protest or not, it's a blatant violation of FAA rules about how low you can fly any kind of an aircraft over a crowd. So I don't know why somebody didn't get their ass hung for that kind of crap. But for him to, in retrospect, to make this big grandiose apology about he didn't know this and he didn't know that, he sounds like the kind of guy that would stick the shiv right into the back of Julius Caesar, with a great big smile on his face. He's probably trying to set himself up for a presidential run of his own somewhere in the future. That's what it looks like to me. But I wouldn't, under any circumstances, place any trust in that SOB. He's a self-aggrandizing tool of the swedge that operate everything. That's what he is.
Dennis, it seems to me that the globalist trader Milley speaks to a bigger issue that has been going on since Donald Trump was elected in 2016, which is to paint him as an unhinged outsider what do you make of that? Why is Donald Trump perceived as such a threat to the globalist parasites?
Well, I had to ask myself that question over and over again because you have to. I mean, if the question doesn't keep resonating over and over whenever you see this and that and the other, way that they throw heap discreditation on top of somebody's head like they have, you have to wonder what the purpose is. And I don't know if you're aware of what was going on with I call her Shillery during her run, which of course they could have run a cockroach against her and she would have been defeated. But as a matter of fact, the cockroach would have won in a landslide, not just a mere margin. But
I'd vote for the roach.
So would I. Better chance of leadership, for sure. And certainly the roach wouldn't have intent to start Armageddon, so probably wouldn't know what Armageddon is, but maybe roaches are smarter than Shillery. Probably are. So going back to what was going on with her, she looked like a shoe-in until she made disparaging comments about the Rothschild, and then after she had done that, and it got leaked out to the press, she suddenly ended up with a giant boat anchor around her neck, and she sank in the polls, and she wasn't quite as popular, except there's all these civilians under naval training, as they call them, in plural, and you know what the acronym there is for that, but
right.
They're all the ones that upheld her as a perfect shining example of what we want in the White House, I couldn't vote for her with two or three guns right at my head, not let alone one. So she fell from grace because of the disparaging comments she made about the Jews. And the Jews are what have bolstered and raised her up in her feckless, gain of power during her career. She probably wore the pants in the, what I call the whorehouse more so than Bill did. So when you look at what had happened with Eric Trump, it's starting to smell a lot like he must have said something to the wrong Rothschild family member to get so backstabbed and cornholed. And it could have been other things going on too, because I might have oversimplified it, but it could have been something just as egregious as saying, well, look what I've done. I put put this embassy in Jerusalem. What more did you want? Did you want me to, hand over the keys to the city? And to be quite honest about it, it looked like for the most part he was bending over backwards for the people in Tel Aviv in almost every way. So my best guess, you know, with my military spook, brain turned on, is he crossed somebody in the highest levels of the Jewish power, and that's what happened. And that's why they did everything in their power to have every single mainstream media outlet except these pieces of scum that are owned by ruptured Merdcock, as I call them, on his side. And I don't really trust them to really be on his side either. I mean, there has to be one network that supports him irrevocably, no matter what. And I don't know if you know much about Rupert, but he screwed up so bad in the UK that by bribing policemen, and he had members of MI5 and MI6 in his back pocket as well, that even the Brits, who usually tolerate a great deal of corruption like that, even had enough of it, and they unplugged him somewhat. So this is starting to smell like the reason why Donald John Trump fell out of favor with him. He had to, in a private conversation, or, he didn't see anything in print from it, but he must have had a phone call with somebody and disparaged him, and then they said, well, we'll see about that, and that's where this whole thing started. So, as you know, I'm not a fan of his.
Okay.
There wasn't some real reason for doing it. And the best I can come up with is he really pissed them off. And that's why this thing is going on with that now, and including Millie and all these other pieces of scum.
Dennis, we have a...
Well, Jim, you're really what is it? You're too hot.
Yeah, let me see if I can fix that.
Yeah, you need to turn your mic level down.
Definitely overmodulated.
Overmodulated.
I couldn't agree more. Damn.
Right now, Jim sounds like he's inside of a wood chipper.
How's this?
Not in a wood chipper.
Perfect, how's Jim. This? Perfect. Perfect.
Okay, Dennis, we have had a recall election in California, and it turns out the Secretary of State revised how they do the voting in California just in time for the recall, where you could even print your own ballot at home. They seem to have sent out mail-in ballots. Some, even Ashley Babbitt, for example, reportedly received 3 mail-in ballots. We had many who showed up to vote and found they were notified they'd already voted. So the Californians seem to have found a new way to steal election to preserve Gavin Newsom. We have the absurd situation that they claim he's been reelected by nearly 68% of the vote, but that's completely ridiculous. I mean, the Democrats appear to be corrupt from A to Z in every state in every way. It's disgusting beyond belief. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was watching it. I knew how it was going to play out before it ended. I knew there was no way they were going to remove him, but I wasn't going to convince anybody else of that, but it's one of those issues. And I have a real, like I said, I've always been pretty sanguine about all this. I call it Jubuki theater. It's bread and circuses more than it's anything else. But going down the path of excoriating Newsom for all the things he's done, he's just like every other power-hungry politico that once they get in the seat, they have this belief that they deserve to be there no matter what. And he pulled this real hypocritical crap where he went to some event, where nobody was wearing masks and, everybody was rubbing elbows, which, by the way, if the logic dictates that if there really was a severe threat, that they would be smart enough to know that they'd want to all be masked up and doing social distancing, but it wasn't observed, but he got caught and he got aired out to dry for it. So he wasn't very contrite about it. I think he was basically in the camp of go blow it out of your ass. I'm going to do what I want, but maybe I'm wrong about it. But he's just been one more dong dangled in front of everybody's face in an obscene, Stockholm syndrome display of everybody is so captive that they don't understand that he'd just as soon cut your head off or eat your brains is trying to be a public servant. But we have the same thing going here with, I call her Miss Brown Eye, that runs this state here, and she's every bit as obscene and disgusting as him. So, I mean, there's not much you can do about it. Once a politician gets entrenched, everybody, the moron sheep on America are too stupid to understand that there's a lot of things that make a good leader, and none of these politicians make good leaders, and yet they still remain in power. So you have to ask yourself how 68% of the population in California would have the lack of brains to reinstall the SOB. But I don't know what they're looking for there. I think that the last time I drove trucks in 2017 in California, up and down the Central Valley and stuff, and humping freight in and out of Los Angeles, what I saw is that California was a toilet when I lived there and I left in 1984. But Jesus Christ, now it doesn't even qualify as latrine status in the military. It's just bad, and it got that way not just because of one person's policies, but because the overarching issue is that everybody there thinks that whatever the government says goes. And California had this overly inflated image of itself, thinking it was going to be the one that led the way about air resources and quality control for motor vehicle emissions and stuff like that. And I do have to say, back when I was stationed there in the military in the 70s, that Caltrans did a really good job of keeping the roads in great condition. But like I said, in 2017, when I drove, those roads are disgusting. As a matter of fact, I can't tell you how many times I almost lost front wheels on semi-trucks going up into San Francisco, up along the main corridor of their I-5. So it's in such bad shape now that they should mark it off as a place where trucks shouldn't go because it's hazardous. It's dangerous to drive those roads. But I'll let you have your say.
Yeah, it's stunning, Dennis, especially in California, where it's too bad. Scorpio said he was doing the show today, but so far, no. I would love to hear his thoughts since he just moved to California a few weeks ago. But Dennis, my question for you is, it appears to me since the advent of electronic voting around the turn of the century, first Diebold, now Dominion, it seems as though all the major elections are controlled, but they want to give the facade of some legitimacy. So they allow a scumbag like Gruesome Newsom to be recalled, but then they judo flip it to make it seem like it's a validation of what he's doing. And similarly with every other election since they began to be controlled at the digital level, not at the counting level. And what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is why very long time ago, I completely gave up having any faith in the voting. Back in my last run-in with voting was, a friend of mine was running for sheriff in Pima County in Arizona against that pile of filth down there named Clarence Dupnik, who was the sheriff. I ran a recall effort against him down there and didn't work because the Democrats uphold him and like he's a god and he's nothing more than a mafia drug trafficking piece of scum. But that's what they like. And, we found that there's a little town called Ajo, A-J-O is the way it's spelled. The town had like 4,000 ballots cast in it. And at the time, the population wasn't even 400 people. So Dupnik's boys went down there and stuffed the ballot box, and we took it to the feds. We had proof of our allegation of ballot box stuffing, and that's what pushed Dupnik over the edge and let him win once again. And the, you know what the feds said? Their reply was, we can't come in and investigate election fraud unless they invite us in to do it.
Jeez.
And I asked the FBI agent right to his face. He said, so you're telling me that the criminal that committed the crime is going to ask you to investigate the crime? Does that make any sense to you? And he just looked at me with that stupid look on his face like, you don't understand how things work here. But that was back in the day when another pile of scum named Grant Woods was the attorney general. And there's a cabal of real low-rent dinocrats that ran the state. It's amazing that it turned red. I don't think party affiliation makes a damn bit of difference because it's just two gangs that are street gangs that are fighting, vying for power. And I don't raise one up over the other one, but Jesus Christ, there is a limit to how much corruption there can be. And the apparatus now seems to be so riggable that, as I've told people, you're wasting a non-renewable resource, which is time, when you go to the ballot box, if it doesn't make any difference. And everybody yells at me. And, even my friend that lives out in Spokane, he would have words with me, periodically about my disbelief in the dinocrats and their fairness. He listens to way too much NPR, by the way, but which is another propaganda machine.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
But it's just a bunch of crap. But anybody that trusts the system and has trusted it for the last, I'd say, 45, 50 years has been a moron and a fool. But even more so since they could, they went to the totally electronic, balloting, which means that it could be rigged in any number of ways. And when you listen to the mainstream media over and over and over again talk about how there was no fraud, it's like, it's like on Star Wars where Obi-Wan goes, to the Star Trooper, these are not the droids you're looking for, and then their simple minds lock onto that and they go with it. But that repetition and crap, that should be a red flag in everybody's face about whether they can be rigged or whether rigging has occurred. Because the more they deny it, it's a case of, Shakespearean words of the lady doth protest too much. That's exactly what's going on. So anybody that trusts the system at this particular point in time is a fool and a knave. I'm sorry, but I have really a bunch of bridges I'd like to sell them. And they'll go cheap, but they better hurry up and sign up quick before they all get it.
Well, we also have the situation. I'm not getting the echo now. How nice. That Biden is hoping he can hang his legal hat on OSHA over all these mandates, which include private companies with over 100 workers. Meanwhile, a federal judge has blocked the New York State healthcare worker vaccine mandate. I'm hoping this is all going to play out to defeat, but the problem becomes all the mischief that occurs between the time an unconstitutional order or directive is issued and the time it's finally ruled to be unconstitutional by the court. That's when everything bad takes place. Dennis.
Yeah, talking about OSHA, by the way, when I was getting poisoned by asbestos and toxic mold at Low-Key Murders, I called them, in Eagan, Minnesota, and my boss, who was 42 years old, died from the same crap that almost killed me. OSHA's rule was that they had no jurisdiction over the mold, but they did about the asbestos. So they levied a fine against Lockheed Martin of some paltry amount, like $5,000 or something. And then because Lockheed Martin had enough power that they actually had the whole OSHA penalty removed entirely within a couple of years, quietly, under cover, so that nobody would notice that the penalty was removed and they never paid. But OSHA's a lame piece of scum, just like all these other fake entities in the government. Their intent isn't to protect your life, it's to sell it, because they'll protect the corporation more than they'll do anything to rope them in for poisoning people. So if OSHA is the last bastion of this knave trying to get cover for this mandate, he might be surprised that even the scumballs at OSHA might flip him under the bus and not really support it. So I don't have any faith in any system stopping it at some point in time. It wouldn't surprise me that they ramrod some special session through where they use the reconciliation thing to pass a law, which makes it absolutely guaranteed that everybody except donut guards and first responders will have to do it, because here's what's going on. The donut guards are getting exemptions. And you know why this is happening? Because they'll walk off the forces, which they've done in a number of different locations where they just say, screw it, we're not going to do this crap, and they leave. And, you know, I mean, they know we're one step away from anarchy as it is, because that's what it is here in the Portland area. The cops drive around in SUVs, but they do absolutely nothing, because they've been directed by the mayor, who is also the police commissioner, to do absolutely friggin' nothing. And when you look at it from their viewpoint, why the hell should they do anything anyway? I mean, they're going to get paid whether they do it or not. So, you know, like I said, I'm not a big fan of donut guards and policing stuff, but for them to get an exemption, such a broad swath cut exemption for just them, and in some cases, first responders, people that ride the ambulances to go save people's lives, for them not to be forced into it. They just know that they can't, you know, they can't maintain society's last vestiges if all of these guys just bail. And I think they will ultimately bail. It's just a matter of time. But that's why they're not including them. So it'll be surprising if they actually don't continue and push until they pass a law that makes it mandatory that everybody queue up and get the shot. So if anybody has hope in OSHA stopping this carnal bullshit going on in the forced fellatio that's being shoved into everybody's mouth by the government, I have some bridges to sell you once again, but nobody should hold out any hope that they'll stop at some point. They'll keep pushing until they get their way, and that's the way I see it. And the only thing that will stop it is if people, per this one the video that I shipped a link to, they all en masse just quit their jobs, which is happening in the nursing field. Nurses are just bailing out of their profession left, right, front, and center, and some doctors even that won't do it. So we're going to see a point in time where first responders and police will just walk off the job in every municipality. And it's all by design. I think they're pushing as hard as they can to give the impression that they're trying to hold society together, but they're really not. They're trying to destroy it, and they will. They'll ultimately win. They'll destroy society and make it collapse.
Speaking of seeking to destroy society and make it collapse, I was astounded last week ago, Monday, when Biden, the living glory hole, gave his speech and sought to push all federal employees and contractors to take the death jab. And in my mind, so overstepped the powers that he possesses. And he's trying to do it through the Department of Labor now in this latest scam. And there is a ton of pushback, though, Dennis. There's countless lawsuits already been filed in the last week against it. And like you said a moment ago, more and more people just walking off the job, nurses, police, fire. It appears they're trying to, like the police and fire in California are trying to pursue legal means, but eventually they're just going to say F you and just leave. And I mean, no one is ever going to put an injection into anyone who doesn't want it. They don't have the military capacity to do it. They cannot go door to door. So this is all, in my mind, a mind control. It's all trying to weave a dark spell to make you believe they have the power, but in reality, they don't have the numbers. They don't have the power. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, of course they don't have the numbers and they don't have the power, but that doesn't mean they won't pursue it. They'll push it to the nth degree, because what they've done so far is with the things, as I mentioned in the other shows, that the PSYOP pitting 50% of the population against the other 50% approximately. I mean, the numbers could be skewed one way or the other, but it's almost a split right down the middle. So what we're looking at is, a divide and conquer device. That's simply what this is. And it actually, I think it, when I look at it more with a set of clearer eyes, it looks like that is exactly the whole purpose of it anyway. I mean, above and beyond even a eugenicist's wildest dreams, I think it's intended to divide the public and conquer it by splitting the population right down the center. And it's doing a very good job of it, because, if they think that if it ever got out where they actually show some policeman holding down a person like they did where they gave this guy a shot in the arm illegally. It wasn't a cop that did it. It was an EMS person that overdosed him with a suppressant that actually made him die. It killed him actually, and then they filed charges against him. If widespread videos or phone videos or whichever method was used was shown to the public, mm-hmm. that people were actually being grabbed and thrown down and forced administering of this crap, that would trigger absolutely positively a civil war. There's no two ways around it. But I think that's what they really want, because they're pushing so hard for it that when you look at it, logic dictates that that's precisely the end goal, is to create so much divisiveness and so much rancor that they want the public to take up arms against each other. And by the way, society is collapsing in America, in cities right now. You really can't drive around too much anymore without exposing yourself to risk of being shot and being killed. I mean, we have routine gunfights in this city here where I think the last one, they called it a fusillade, where they ended up picking up more than 1,000 shell casings off the ground. And the people that are doing it must have a lot of money, because ammo is hard to get and it's not cheap. So, I mean, when you look at that, in city after city after city, people are just opening up on each other with weapons. I mean, the facade of society being even close to intact is rapidly peeling away, and people are going to finally see what America has always been. It's just been a bunch of wolves eating each other's ass, and that's what the country's turning into and descending into. And that's exactly what the powers that be want. They want the civil war. They want the rancor. They want the divisiveness. They want the violence. That's what they're pushing.
Let me mention that having Dennis a second time in a row, I am certain there are many in our audience who have questions for him. So we're going to open the line to callers for the second hour. I'll remind you now, the call-in number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, Dave Hodges, of course, has the Common Sense Show. He's made a lot of important points in the past, such as that during the 20th century, there were 19 democides during which all of societies were wiped out, annihilated by their governments, each of which was preceded by gun confiscation. He's been emphasizing, therefore, not to let it happen here, lest we become number 20. He's spot on about that. And what I want to know, Demis, is what he is now projecting that is coming sounds right to you. Here's what he suggests in the following order in the next weeks and months. First, massive false flag, multi-casualty events. Second, declaration of martial law and the outlawing of private gun ownership. Third, points 1 and 2 will be used to distract from what is coming next, namely an economic collapse. Fourth, the purge will be in full force. Fifth, civil war will commence. Some American military will resist, and foreign troops will be brought in to support the criminal cabal running the government. And people wonder how Biden could lack such compassion as to leave thousands of Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. Your thoughts?
Well, I got to agree with every single point. Normally I wouldn't, but I think every one of those is going to come to pass. And there was once a time when I used to scoff at foreign troops here, because they'd be such easy targets. They usually wear insignia on their uniform, but that stuff comes, it's Velcro that holds it on, it peels right off, and everybody's camouflage gear almost to the last country now uses identical digitally generated patterns, so it'd be hard to discern them unless they're wearing distinctive helmets or something really different, or carrying weapons that look really different. But this collapse is real. The collapse is happening, and they knew it was going to happen because the Ponzi scheme that is the United States agreed to at Bretton Woods at the meeting there is coming to an end. They cannot float this boat any longer. They can't kick the can down the road any longer. All the indicators are is that we're in very deep kimchi with multiple bubbles busting by no later than probably the earliest quarter of next year at the latest. So we're looking at a significant amount of bad juju in America relative to the financial situation. And, you know, I've always said over and over again over years of shows that the reason why they run the false flags with these fake mass casualty events, at such a blistering pace is that they absolutely positively have to get the guns off the streets, because that's one of the biggest obstacles that they have for control, is that there may be just enough people here to at least attrite everything down to a situation like the Russians faced in Afghanistan, where they finally left it because they were just losing people left and right. And I think in the United States, because the military has always been kind of split right down the middle relative to who believed what, that at least half of the military that would be called upon to enforce edicts like Barry Sotora wanted, where they just willy-nilly go out on the streets and shoot people that didn't comply, that half of the troops would just not comply and that they would join the resistance. And that's what I think would happen. So it's going to get pretty messy in the very end, but they will push until they do, you know, like I said in the last show that we did, that all these things are a backdoor way of ushering in a real troops on the streets martial law, because we've been under martial law since the aftermath of 9/11. And that was a true observation under, you know, those two policy directives, HSPD 20 and NSPD 51, whichever, I might have transposed them a little bit, but those two directives meant that we've been unplugged as a constitutional entity for a very, very long time, if not even before that, back when Oliver North and Bush and Reagan and these other, you know, clowns started to really put some emphasis on continuity of government orders and directives that they could foist on people for any number of reasons. So we are in the end, and because the financial situation in the United States is going to be so bleak and so dire, they absolutely have to do everything in their power to disarm the country before they start to do whatever they have to do to maintain law and order. But I do think that they've got a sticky wicket on their hands, and they're going to have a very tough time with it. And I could be wrong. It could be that that everybody will just comply and queue up behind the cheese trucks when they roll them out. But it's going to get pretty ugly, and they need to disarm the country. And I think that that's where the next steps are going to go. Because, like I said, the shot thing, in more ways than I realized in the very beginning, was going to be the major dividing wedge that broke the camel's back and triggered all of these continuity of government directives and orders being fully enforced, not partially enforced as they are now, but we're on the very brink of the very end. And the people that don't see it, I want them to get their rose-colored glasses off their face and use their real eyeballs and see what they can see, because it's coming. And it used to be hyperbole and outrageous BS to say what that gentleman stated in all of the steps, but it's not hyperbole anymore, BS. It's the real thing. And anybody that doesn't believe that the government will shoot civilians in the streets, they better be wearing bulletproof armor when they go outside when their shit hits the fan. That's what we're looking at now.
Dennis, what do you think of the 18th is going to be a march called Justice for January 6th here around the District of Criminals? They announced a day or two ago that they're going to put the fences back up in front of the Capitol because they're so concerned that these unhinged patriots will do something violent. And yet this is an obvious opportunity for a false flag where some anti-vax, anti-globalist white man can potentially do something and actually do nothing but be blamed for it, as in some major detonation or something. What do you think the likelihood of that being the false flag this September 18th at the Justice for January 6th?
Oh, of course it will. And when you look at how January 6th unfolded, they had overwhelming ability to stop it in its tracks before it really got underway, and they took no action. And, you know, I've written to my so-called mouthpieces, which are scum here in this gulag that I live in here on the West Coast, and got no responses, because I said that every bit as culpable as they should be are the people in the decision loop that took absolutely no steps whatsoever to do anything to prevent this kind of thing from going on. And I'm going to kill this phone that's ringing because it's pissing me off. There, now it's dead. Sorry about that. But they'll use it as an opportunity to do a false flag. I have no doubt whatsoever in my ex-military mind that that's exactly what's coming. Because the first one on January 6th was a false flag. It was just with a bunch of useful idiots that had no clue that they were being used like condoms, expendable, by rushing into a building, you know, like idiots falling right into a trap laid for them, which is exactly what it was. You know, and they should have smelled the rat when they saw that all the resistance caved in and they were allowed to come right on in there. And if those people would have been brown or black, they would have used airstrikes from Andrews to kill them with. And of course, that probably wouldn't have gone over very good. But I think this thing on the 18th is going to be major caca hitting the rotating blades. And like, I could be wrong. I'd like to be wrong in this particular case. But I think that there's going to be a major event and happening there. And that'll be one of the bricks in the wall that hastens and puts more emphasis on the disarmament of Americans. Because right now, there's been unprecedented number of people buying guns. I don't know if you tried to purchase any type of additional weaponry or ammunition in the last 6 months or a year, but it's almost, this stuff is almost like hen's teeth. You can barely find it, you know, and you have to search and search and search to get it. And any meaningful weapon that anybody would want to buy, it's either priced out of everybody's price range, or you can't get it because you can't even back order stuff. So you know they have a collision with destiny, and they're setting it up. I mean, this isn't, they'll pretend like, oh my God, you know, this is all, you know, Trump's fault and he triggered this and stuff. But Trump, more than a lot of people understand and recognize, he was such a willing, by accident, whipping boy for them to utilize to set the stage for this, because the Jews are masters at creating a false narrative and making, and demonizing one particular group. You know, it's Antifa, Antifa, Antifa. For all practical purposes, Antifa isn't an organization. It has no top-down leadership of any kind. But they like to stick these images in everybody's brain and make them think that there's organized groups. When here in this Portland area here where I live, overwhelmingly it's assholes from Washington State, you know, with their flags on their trucks coming down here and starting the trouble and being allowed to come down here. And the authorities take no measures to stop it. And when they have shootouts and the police, you know, step off to the side and let it happen, that should tell you that just like January 6th, it was all intended to go down the way it did. As a matter of fact, I think they were rather disappointed on January 6th that there wasn't more violence than there was, because there should have been. You know, if you really look at what nearly transpired, there would have been any number of several hundred people that were dead at the end of it all, but it didn't go down that way. And I think that it wasn't because they didn't want it to go down like that. It's because that even as bad as they said it was, that at least some people with cooler heads decided not to whip out guns and just start blazing away with them. Which I'm going to warn everybody, if you think you're on Trump's side, you think you're going to preserve liberty, if you do these violent acts, what you're doing is you're falling right into exactly the game plan that Central Intelligence Agency and Langley set up for the Jews, and you're just going to be facilitating the end of the Republic at a much higher rate of speed than what it would be, because it's inevitable anyway, but it's going to happen. Well, so that's where I'm at with.
Dennis, I got to tell you, I still have not lost all faith in Trump, and I don't understand the alternatives. He's the only political figure with a potential to unite the nation in resistance to the criminal cabal in Washington now. How is the country supposed to respond to save the nation if, as you suggest, we are hemmed in on both sides, that Trump is not on our side, and God knows Biden and Harris are not either? So where do we go? What can we do?
Well, the salvation of the United States, I call it the United Snakes of America, the salvation of this country is beyond the reach of any of us. And I'm not trying to tell everybody that they need to throw up their hands and just walk away from it. But here's where I'm at with it now, after having decided to, over a great deal of time, where I fall in everything. And I'm unwilling to just willy-nilly sacrifice myself for this shithole. I really am. I gave enough at the office when I lost my thyroid, pretty much, and ended up with a tumor sticking out the side of my neck, which the VA is still fighting me 7 years later on my claim about. And they tried to murder me in a recovery room after a minor operation. So I'm really in that point where I'm unwilling to shed one drop of my blood for this goddamn toilet. And I think anybody out there that thinks that they're going to stand up against the powers that be and save the country, it could probably be done if the people were smarter and understood that the only way you can defeat this kind of military power is with sophisticated insurgency, more so than doing stupid things like January 6th. January 6th was the epitome of stupid in many ways. It didn't accomplish a goddamn thing. It did not stop the election counting. It didn't do anything to prevent the transition to the next puppet. And therefore, anybody that participated in it was a total asshole and a fool for giving up their civil liberties and their liberty now for a chimera, something that's fake, something that's false. And that's where I stand with it. You cannot save America at this point.
But Dennis, you know that January 6th was a stage event orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi, where James, a brother of John Sullivan, has declared his brother led 226 Antifa dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol. It was calculated to disrupt the discussion of evidence of election theft. Very clever. And then used to try to smear Trump. We have video showing that there were managers and directors telling everywhere where to go. It's all outrageous beyond belief. I'm very surprised for you to suggest that was a legitimate effort when it was a staged event.
I'm not calling it anything a legitimate effort. I'm just, you know, and I'm going to challenge you right here on the show, Jim. I think Antifa is bullshit. And I think that if you're trying to whitewash Trump and make him look like an innocent victim, you're also lost in space without your helmet on going down that path, because it's blatantly false and wrong. These guys are mere puppets. They don't get allowed into that whorehouse unless they will serve a purpose. That's the only way they get in there. They don't fall in there by accident. They get in there because the powers that be want to run them and use them as a puppet and a tool to accomplish their end game. And he is exactly what they needed at the time, just like Barry Satoro was. So I have virtually no, you know, we need to stow this Antifa crap and this false narrative that these guys dressed up as Trump supporters. That's bullshit. It's bullshit. And I'm going to call it right now. I think
that's not nobody, bullshit, Dennis. It's documented, for Christ's sake. Anyone can go on to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and if you scroll down to 17 April. You can see a 21-minute video documenting how the Capitol Police were welcoming people in, how there were directors and managers telling everyone where to go, how the shooting of Ashley Babbitt was completely phony and staged. I'm very surprised to hear you're taking this stand.
Well, could I jump in for a second? I think that what occurred is that there were a lot of well-meaning, loyal Americans. I mean, we have guests and friends of show like Dr. Carrie Madej, Miriam Hanane, and a dozen other people we personally know that went to January 6th believing they were exercising their right to freedom of assembly and to support, you know, the conservative movement and real patriotics as opposed to the communist communitarian traitors that once were the Democratic Party and now are seeking to destroy this sovereign republic. And I believe, and get both your thoughts, that a lot of decent people got played that day, thinking they were, you know, doing what this country should allow you to, which is freedom of assembly, free speech, and making a statement, and they got set up to now they're domestic terrorists. What do you think of that scenario?
Well, the thing is that when you watched it, you know, these guys, you know, breaking glass and trashing the place, that's not freedom of speech anymore. You know, I mean, I'm all for a good, people showing up in mass numbers, like 2 or 3 million, and holding up banners, which nobody would ever see. The mainstream media would never cover it. But the minute they set foot inside that building, which was a trap, it showed that their intellect was missing, because they fell right into a grandiose scheme that allowed them to be used just like meat puppets, which is exactly all they were. They went there with good intentions. I have no doubt whatsoever that was the plan. But for you to conflate the fact that these guys showing up there at the Capitol with Antifa membership infiltrating under Trump,
Dennis,
stuff, that's absolute bullshit.
They were warned. They were warned this was coming the day before. There were FBI infiltrators, FBI deeply involved. Look, we're about to hit the break. I want to invite anyone who'd like to call in with questions for Dennis, Giuseppe, or me, 540-352-4452. We'll be right back with Dennis Camino.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm not surprised to see we have about a half a dozen calls already. The first I want to welcome is Mr. Rowe, who has a communication from John McAfee that it will be of great interest to everyone, implying as well that John McAfee appears to be alive and well. Mr. Rowe, welcome to the event.
James, good to be back with you. You sound great, and welcome back to the airwaves, Revolution Radio as well.
95% recovered. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Right on. So, yeah, as some of you may or may not be aware, after the demise, supposedly, of John McAfee in Spain, a quote-unquote dead man switch was activated. Now, this is in the form right now of a Telegram McAfee Afterlife channel, which is continuously posting what would appear to be a continuation of Q-type posts. Now, I know a lot of people don't buy into the Q information. I, from looking into this, I think that my personal opinion is that maybe that John McAfee was involved in this operation at the beginning. Something occurred in which this whole Q thing was kind of compromised. And then John, in the afterwards, is now back in control of the messages coming out in this same format. Is John McAfee Q? He may very well be. There are several pictures and links. There's one that shows a very recent, several showing very recent videos of John in various places. He's a pretty good piano player, by the way, with little messages. There's also one that's recent with him and Robert David Steele, who we are led to believe that Robert David Steele passed away in a hospital. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if those two are actually a couple spy masters working together or involved in something. Now, there is a very recent post. Today is the final day when supposedly all of this information unlocks. There's cryptographic keys. There's utilizing Ethereum blockchain with the WAX token that's on this automatic sort of algorithm that keeps dropping keys to this repository. So the latest post, which was at 3:30 this morning, I'll just kind of briefly go over it from official McAfee. Shall we play a game? The final chapter, something big is coming. By the way, the countdown ends today, which is the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of, signing of the Constitution of the United States. So here we go. Something big is coming. Weekend weather update, 98% chance flash flood warning, 66% chance blackout, USA, Australia, Euro, me. 0% chance of stopping what is coming. Confirmed. This is it, Patriots. The hour is upon us, and I'm bringing the storm of the century. Now, there's some little cryptographic brackets and things with letters that I'm not going to include in this. I'm just giving you the general text. Ramping up server optimization on this channel bigly. Excessive incoming traffic upwards 3,000%. 20 to 40 million patriots worldwide. This will be the largest D-class of the 21st century, a.k.a. the crime of the century. I warned you, payload ready, bring the pain, white rabbit, operation, F around and find out. Operation God wins, active like clockwork, incoming, bunch of other cryptic stuff. Welcome to the main event, showtime. Boom so loud, it will blow their masks off. Who and what is under those masks? Lord, my God, they are not ready for this show. At 21 hours remain, I will lock this channel down to private. You'll only be able to access the provided invite link. So I'm monitoring the channel. There, one more dot, and then I'll hand it back to you, is recently there were some photographs that seemed to depict Joe Biden, the Pope, and some other folks in what appears to be masks, like very, very well put together latex masks. Joe has, there's a photo of him. There's a tab by his ear. There's another one where Fauci is talking and his neckline, you can actually see the gap where the mask is like flopping around. So, and it also, if you look at some of the photos of Joe Biden, we know that he's at least got doubles. At least one or two, because some of the quote unquote Joe Bidens that we see are not the same. They're not consistent. You know, you have earlobes that are attached on one guy, earlobes are not attached. One guy knows what he's talking about. The other guy doesn't know which way's up. But anyway, so that's what we've got so far. Those of you that are on the McAfee channel, it's probably locked down by right now. There's 226,951 folks on it, and I will be updating on my show and also just in general on Revolution Radio any information that does come out, because it's I think we're on the gnat's brow away from a big drop. Back to you.
Dennis, would you like to pick up on Mr. Rowe's report from McAfee?
Well, it sounds like it came right out of Unit 8200 in Haifa, and the reason why it doesn't even sound like John McAfee, and the reason why I state that is that I'm not a big McAfee fan for the reason being that he was pushing, I call it shitcoin, and shitcoin is a CIA construct, and it's you know, when we aired who were the progenitors and the seed elements of Bitcoin, all the trails led back to CIA. So I'm not trying to link John McAfee directly to the Central Intelligence Agency, but all this crypto crap is just another scam that ultimately is going to end in a lot of people pissing and moaning that they lost everything. And it wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if McAfee was still alive, just like Ken Lay is alive, and just like Epstein, I call him Epkite, is probably still alive. A lot of these people, I don't know if you've noted that the nice way to get people out of the spotlight is to make them to be presumed dead. And ultimately, that shuts off all the additional scrutiny, which is a very good thing for them to do with Epkite, because he had the goods on so many people because they were visiting his island. And so anyway, this all this stuff sounds exactly like this crap that was being floated about 9/11 that came out of ostensibly probably Jews in Haifa for working for the Mossad, they put out a thing called the Dakota Documents, talking about reinforced leading edges and explosives in the planes that made them cut into the building like hot butter. And looked at all that crap that Barbara Honegger floated, I realized it was utter bullshit. So I'm real skeptical about McAfee even discussing things in a way that even links him to this fake thing called Q, which is a bunch of bullshit and also fake. So that's my take on it. And I'm a spook from the military, and I did such a good job that I have accolades up to Yin Yang for being probably another setup, like they would have used me, like they used Lee Harvey Oswald, who was also a spook in the Marine Corps. But it doesn't wash, and I think that it just it generates more crap, but I would still not turn it off and not look at it. In other words, I'm not telling people not to analyze it, because it probably should be looked at with a great deal of, first off, disbelief, because it doesn't sound like John McAfee at all, but it may still be valid. But the thing that links him to Q in some fashion is utter nonsense, and he would know better than to link himself to that group of nuts. So those guys are nothing more than a CIA front to discredit truthers. That's all that organization has ever been.
Giuseppe, would you like to comment on Dennis and the McAfee report from Mr. Rowe?
Well, have nothing but mad respect for Mr. Rowe and Dennis. And I don't really, I've always thought Q was an op from the beginning. It to me, it seemed like a good way to neuter the actual patriots in this country instead of really forming into some type of coherent force against these globalist parasites, the malignancy that's eating away at our country. Instead, they go to barbecues with Robert David Steele and wear their red, white, and blue underwear and shirts and pants and feel good about everything, and they don't actually do anything. So but you know, on the other hand, Mr. Rowe is a sharp fellow, and so it's fascinating. So I guess time will tell if it's counting down today.
I was just going to say there are several things that should be unlocked. There's some files, the names of the files: Motherlode, Nakamoto, SETI, Serendip, Kono, and Little St. James. Now, I think McAfee is tied to the CIA. There was, again, that picture of Robert David Steele and McAfee holding arm in arm, like a couple of buttons. And definitely an operation of some sort. In which direction does it go? I have no idea. But, we'll find out, I guess. Time will tell. Back to you.
Well, I'm really glad you came on, Mr. Rowe. I'm simply delighted, and you're welcome to stay long, and I'll come back to you. Meanwhile, since we have so many callers, the first after Mr. Rowe is Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join us.
Well, what an honor. What a great lineup, and I'm going to be brief. That way the other people can get on, and I'll put it on mute after we go through my topic. Dennis, since you were there in Arizona, do you have any thoughts on the Gabrielle Giffords false flag shooting? I believe it was an assassination of Judge John Roll, and it was used as a smokescreen. And I put up a link to a video that's been censored many times off of YouTube there in the Revolution Radio chat. It's called The Secret Life of Gabrielle Giffords. And also, thoughts on the shooting of JT Reddy, who was running for sheriff down there? And I think that was a CIA or a local hit. What do you think?
Wow, good. I'm glad you called. Actually, I wanted to thank the other gentleman that just jumped off the line, because, whether I agree or don't agree, right down the line, it's really good that people call in and bring these things up, because I hadn't even heard of it. But Nakamoto is CIA, and anything with that Nakamoto is a fictional person. It's another persona that doesn't really exist. In other words, there's no meat behind that puppet. That's a meatless puppet.
There's an interesting photo on the McAfee graph that actually shows Satoshi Nakamoto, and then it has like the crypto keys. It's a declassified CIA cover page. So you're on something there. It's definitely linked to CIA. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just because they have a picture of a person, it's just like this Christopher Dorner guy that was dead 8 years before they used him in a false flag in L.A. trying to stir up racial unrest. I mean, Nakamoto could be a real photograph of a real person, but the person, the actual person that they're trying to portray there is a fiction, not a real person. And
well, the photo with McAfee was actually with Robert David Steele. Now who is definitely CIA. And there seems to be connections that McAfee is appearing to be some sort of spy master, definitely connected with the intelligence agencies.
Oh, and that, I mean, I didn't follow him that close, but I've looked at a lot of things. Like he said, he was going to, if Bitcoin didn't, I call it shitcoin, if it didn't go over 10,000 a pop, he was going to cut off his own dick and eat it.
Yeah, I remember.
At that particular point in time, it crashed. And I was going to ask him what kind of condiments did he use when he ate his own dog, because, you know, and when it's like zero, and all these things can't be raped up the anus for it. But going to this other thing, you know, back to Arizona, Arizona is full of a bunch of retired spooks, you know, beyond all possible belief. And the Giffords thing was a complete false flag. She was never shot in the head any more than I was. But more importantly, Judge Roll probably never existed. In other words, I lived in Arizona long enough to know who was not judiciary there in the area, and he appeared to be a fictional construct. And what they do is they like to generate these things, which get everybody to jump into the rabbit hole and go deep into it and never come out again. And unfortunately for America, we've had so many false flags and so many things. You know, like Giffords, who is a Cuban national that uses like five or six different Spanish aliases, you know, and that fake astronaut husband who couldn't qualify to fly in the little rocket ship that they have in the front of the grocery store for 25 cents, let alone be orbited because of his fat ass probably having a myocardial infarct on the way up there. You know, I mean, all of this crap is just a bunch of show. And the sad part about it is that some of us, even me, I have to admit over and over again that I periodically get taken in. Like, myself real quick with what I said about what happened at the Capitol. It's absolutely positively a staged event. There's no two ways around it. I just disagree with Antifa being, you know, being so smart that they're going to get into uniforms and look like Trump supporters. But I have no doubt in my ex-military mind that the whole goddamn thing was staged by the government. And it had unwilling saps, willing saps that showed up to give them the excuse that they needed to even ratchet in and destroy more of our civil liberties, which is exactly what they're going to do if they have this thing on the 18th. So anyway, thank you very much for your call. As far as I can see, anything that comes out of Arizona is another rabbit hole venture for sure. It's just all bullshit.
Thank you very much, Bruce. We have from the 360. Please give us your first name and your state only and join the conversation.
Brian in Washington State.
Very good, Brian.
I'm wondering if your guest could get some contact information from Giuseppe. I'd like to talk to him more about something he said on the last broadcast involving a assistant district attorney in Seattle that was died, and he was investigating some Israeli aircraft, that kind of stuff. His last name was Cole. I was unable to find any of that. But mostly I wanted to address when your guest mentioned that a bunch of gun toters were coming down from Washington State and involved in Portland. So I'm wondering, has he ever heard of a guy named Peter Diaz? And his group is called American Wolf 689. Now, this guy we saw on a news broadcast one morning on the TV, and we called him up. He lives here in Olympia where we live. And myself and my sweetheart are both tree people, and this guy runs a tree service. He's defying the mask order and opening up his business a year ago, and he's a good talker. So anyway, he has this group, and my sweetheart talked to him when he came out to where we live, and he's got a pistol on his belt, and we said, so you're going to get in front of a microphone and a group, and you're going to talk about patriotism, the Constitution, but you don't know what communitarianism is. And he said, okay, look, I don't look at stuff on the internet. I want to sit in the hammock after a long day, and you get me Nikki Rapana's 300-page Xerox book. I'll read it. And he did. And he puts out these little videos. He doesn't anymore after he lost a huge government tree trimming contract. He's kind of gone underground, as far as I know, in the last year. But he did mention this is a blending. It's not capitalism and communism. It is called communitarianism. And I know you got a lot of callers, so I'm going to go back to listening to the show. How's that sound?
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Dennis. You want to pick up on Giuseppe, too? Dennis first.
Oh, yeah, the stuff about coal, by the way, going back to the murder, that's but almost exclusively been scrubbed. And they at the Seattle PI, they have a Mossad agent as a point of contact, if, you know, any leads that you might have about his murder, you know. So you're going to call the Mossad about the leads you have. Good luck with that one. That sounds like a real good plan. But going to this whole thing about the Washington gangs coming down here and starting trouble, it's entirely possible that it's a bunch of federal agents with Washington license plates, but they show up down here en masse. It's a giant convoy, and every single one of them Washington state plates on it. I think I saw, you know, two Oregon plates, probably from Eastern Oregon, and the whole gang. But these guys, you know, anytime you see this kind of stuff happening, where you have one group against the other, it's not what it appears to be. It's not, you know, patriots trying to save the Republic against Antifa, which is a fictional construct, which has no head to the top of the snake. It has no organization. And people just show up and they protest. And by the way, during this crap that happened in Minneapolis in the aftermath of the George Floyd murder, there were people lighting fires at auto parts places and stuff that were caught on videos, and they were wearing black shit. And I have no doubt in my ex-military mind that those people were agent provocateurs from the government doing all the damage. And
yeah, and they're called Antifa.
But that's not. But I mean, Antifa is bullshit. It's just another thing to hate when it's not real. So you can believe it all you want to, but I'm going to tell you that it's nonsense. And you can diss me whatever you want to do, but I think Antifa is just another constructed entity that they put up in a Punch and Judy show or a kabuki theater just so that they have two sides to play, because you can't have one side fighting itself. It's a shadow boxing event then. But Antifa is no more real than the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus is.
Dennis, wow. I mean, Giuseppe.
Oh, I think Dennis is absolutely right. For the weak-minded, unhinged, white nihilists, Antifa is very real, like these communitarian school teachers, you know, 20 years ago would have been punk skaters, and now they're Antifa members. It's real for the weak-minded buffoons who join it, but it's obviously a staged event, just like Black Lives Matter just happens to crop up every 4 years for a federal election. And the one woman who supposedly started Black Lives Matter was able to become a real estate investor to the tune of about $1.7 million with homes in California and Georgia. So she is now a landowner. So, yeah, BLM is real for sure. So, but it, don't you think, Dennis, that for the goofs who buy into it, it's real, but in reality, it's just a staged op?
Yeah, I mean, people want to. I mean, it's you, once you get captured by the bullshit, it's hard to get out of it. It's like a vortex that's so strong you can't swim away from it. And the problem with these schemes that CIA runs out of Langley is that they need to generate, you know, an artificiality that everybody can fall in line and believe really exists. Because if they don't generate all the angst and disgust and pissed offness in the population, they're not going to be able to generate the unrest that they need. They need the unrest to be able to declare martial law. If there's no unrest, how the hell can they justify a martial law declaration?
Right.
For all practical purposes, they haven't yet done it, but all of us that have a working brain know that it's only a matter of time before somebody gets in front of a podium and actually make the formal declaration. And it'll probably happen at the time that the whole collapse and nobody can deny it anymore. But
I have a question.
The sad thing is, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Squeeze it in.
Oh, yeah. I guess not to change the subject, but back on the COVID thing, I wonder if has anybody ever heard any statistics on reinfections?
Well, sure, it happens all the time. In fact, turns out the vaccinated are super spreaders, and that they're calling them breakthrough cases. But mostly with regard to the Delta variant, it's to describe the symptoms that are being incurred by those who have been vaxxed, claiming it's a different variant than that for which they were vaccinated, but it's all bullshit, 100%, except for the real damage being done by the vaccinations.
Well, because they were saying, remember the interview with Fauci, and he couldn't give an answer if there was any validity to natural immunity? The thing is how can he, I've heard no reports or statistics on reinfections, people that have had it and then had it again.
It's nonsense. Sorry.
So that's, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't have any statistics on reinfections, but they're saying that natural immunity doesn't last as long as the vaccine.
Yeah. The concept is wrong. Sorry. It is.
Because I had it. At least they said I had it.
You had symptoms of illness, but it doesn't mean you had
it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was like no other, it was like no other cold or flu ever. It was more of a psychological thing. It was really weird.
May have been, yeah.
Paul, I'm getting to you. There is another caller ahead of you, okay?
Okay.
Code 303. Thanks very much. That was very good. Area code 303, just give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
I believe they dropped, Jim.
Okay. Well, then we get Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
you guys been talking about a lot of things being fake, but I'll tell you one thing that's real is the sense of warmth and happiness that I woke up to today, knowing that beloved Gavin Newsom is still my governor. And it only took me voting for him myself 2 million times, but thank God he doesn't have to go on unemployment now, because the unemployment system in California is very overburdened, as you might have heard. And at least he still has his job. So thank God he's here to give us the guiding hand, take us through all this COVID and everything else, the wildfires, everything Gavin Newsom is doing for California is right and good. And the people here have spoken their will at the polls.
Who says the system doesn't work?
That's right. And, you know, I had to laugh. I've got to tell you.
The system doesn't work. Dennis, you're talking.
I love the dripping irony of and the sarcasm. It put the first smile on my face for the day to hear that. But and that's
Dennis, you put a smile on my face. My opening line was going to be. I didn't know what kind of order I was going to get to be on, but my opening line was going to be, I got nothing. Once I heard Dennis say what kind of condiments he would use to eat his own dog, I thought, I got nothing after that, you know?
Well, I would have thought that wouldn't do it. You'd have a decent steak sauce, you know, like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Not a cheap dollar bottle, but something with like $20 a bottle for that, you know, because that's the last time you're going to eat that thing, for sure, if you finish the whole meal.
Yeah. I was tempted to say when I heard the little bit of the of prickliness between some people here, I was just going to recount Rodney King's famous line of, "Can't we all just get along?" you know, it's crazy. Just think about it. I mean, I sent an email out. I got an email last night from this one of the members of this group. They go around and they do the mask, you know, what I call mask activism. And, you know, I didn't see, is somebody saying something? Okay. I heard somebody in the background. That's why I stopped. Anyway, so this group that I am loosely affiliated with sometimes, they go to these different retail establishments and they all walk in as a group, not wearing a mask. And sometimes they'll buy stuff and they'll do a cash drop. And, you know, I've done it a few times. It's of limited interest as a rule because they don't really do anything else. They don't really leave any information behind or try to educate anybody, or they don't pursue any legal action, you know, and it's just kind of, you know, the thrill is gone once you walk out the door kind of a thing. Well, anyway, they sent out an email asking they were going to go vote maskless, okay, in a group, right, to vote in this recall election. And I didn't get the email in time. I may have gone just for the fun of it. But I sent a reply, and basically I just said, look, this thing has been fixed for a long time. It's been fixed before you ever thought it was fixed. It's fixed now. You know, the system is not going to give us any redress or relief because it's not, they have control. You know, the point that I made, and I thought there was a number of good points. It's one of those moods I had where I was just sort of writing and things were just flowing. And I thought to myself, you know, if they didn't have control of all aspects of society in many ways, what would be the point of mounting an entire worldwide operation if the system itself was going to give us some relief or some redress? If we really had control, if we could vote, if we could do the things that were necessary to accomplish self-government, then I don't think they would have bothered to mount this. You have to acknowledge it's a global operation. You know, as Scorpio has said so many times, world government already exists. They just haven't sent most people the memo. And the one thing I'll agree with Dennis when he used the term toilet and shithole, you know, it's not really true. It's sort of like there's still beautiful places in this country. And when you just go out and you walk with your dog and you have pleasant interactions with other you know, dog owners and so forth, and you realize the simple things in life is what counts for most people. But people's minds have been completely corrupted, and their minds are turned into toilets by essentially television and the internet. I mean, sometimes I think about what a better world it would be if I could just throw all TVs in a volcano and get rid of the internet for a while. I mean, I spent a few days last week. I took a trip out of town, went over to Tahoe and Reno, and, you know, got the pine trees and the mountains, and, you know, I put some money down on some football games and just kind of had a good time. But I was not in front of a television or a computer screen for about 2.5 days, and the improvement in my mood was noticeable. Whatever, that's what I got for now.
It works great to be. I went like 6 months, you know, where I didn't really pay any attention to what was going on, and it was delightful because I had no clue what the hell was happening. People were mentioning things to me, you know, when they have conversations, and I go, what? You know, I was clueless because I hadn't been watching it, but I kind of had to say that on some level. You know, what you said was right about the, you know, what the nature of people really is in a lot of parts of America. Because when I owned my own airplane, flew all over the country and just landed in places I never had a clue what it was like down there. And people would come to the airport and offer me a lift to the motel or whatever in the middle of the night. and stuff like that. I got to see the good side of it, and I got to tell you that I have seen it, and not so much so when I was driving trucks for 6 months, but that was because I was too busy driving to pay attention. But I got to admit that there's a lot of good in America that unfortunately is being destroyed and stifled because the people don't understand what an existential threat that the United States federal government is to their life, and that it's not really the United States federal government at all anymore. It's a Rothschild in a mansion outside of the northwestern part of London. That's who really runs this place. But go ahead.
Paul, I want you to stand by, but we also have a call from Scott in San Diego, so let me bring him in, and then I'll come back to you. Scott.
Okay.
Scott, are you there? Okay, carry on, Paul.
Well, you know, the other thing I would say is that I think in many of the things that are being discussed here, everybody's right, including you, Jim. I mean, I think that you have probably the most accurate take on the Washington, D.C. event. I think Dennis also is right in his assessment, and I think Giuseppe is right in what he said. It's similar with Antifa. Of course, it is an intel construct. I think Miles Mathis has done a couple of different papers on Antifa, and he's completely accurate in his assessment. But that doesn't really touch, you know, the bigger and more important issue in my mind is the fact that whatever the purpose of these things are, it's succeeding on multiple levels. I mean, these people exist. I've encountered them. I've had women in like purple and green hair basically screaming at me that I didn't care about other people as recently as yesterday, right? Because I don't want to wear a mask. And, you know, they exist. They're real. I've had an older woman in a supermarket who I tried to set free because I saw her pulling her blouse up over her face, very uncomfortable. And she looked like she was, you know, getting away with something from the cookie jar. And so I figured, okay, she probably forgot her mask. And she's, you know, I walked over to her without a mask. And I said, hey, you don't have to worry about this. I come to the store all the time. Nobody bothers me. And there is no law and blah, blah, blah. And she immediately goes, well, I believe in it. I go, oh, you mean you believe in the virus? And she goes, yeah. I said, oh, well, I don't. So I don't think you have anything to worry about. There is no virus to be afraid of. And she looks at me and she goes, oh, you must be a Republican. And it's like, this is what the media has done to people's minds. And I just want to smash it. I mean, I really do want to completely, you know, take over and have give everybody a reason for them to hate white men. Because right now there's really no reason because white men are not in power. You know, we know who is, and they're the ones that are messing with people's minds. And I'm upset about it.
People, you have a good reason to be pissed off, but I'm going to caution everybody to ditch the party affiliation, dump it, you know, like it's just like a turd that didn't come out of your butt completely. Just pull it off and throw it, get it off of you, because it's the divider. It's the thing that's causing the poison to be effective. I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, you know, I'm better than you. That's a bunch of horse shit. It's nothing.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, you know that I'm not though, right, Dennis? I mean, I just.
No, but you're right. The thing is that if people, there was once a time when Americans could sit down and have discussions with their party affiliation in their back pocket where nobody knew who is what. And those days are long gone because you could actually have meaningful discussions where both sides got to hear and got to learn something from the other side. And right now, the polarization has been so complete that people can't discuss things in a civil manner anymore. And that's why we'll be easily conquered, because we're split right down the middle by this thing that came out of the Central Intelligence Agency's asshole.
Yeah.
Giuseppe.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to get Dennis's thoughts and everyone's thoughts on what was their impression of Biden's draconian press conference and overreach a week ago Monday.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I couldn't watch it. I tried to listen to what was captured, you know, the whole thing, obviously. And I got into it just a little bit, and I had to get off of it because it was like watching a donkey fuck a turtle. You know, it was obscene and it was disgusting, And rather than watch somebody pinch a loaf or do something objectionable to another thing, which is what Biden did, but he did it to 300 million or more who actually watched it. So I can't comment on it, but it was enough to make me have an autonomic reflex to puke.
Yeah.
And I had to stop retching because it made me realize that we're much further gone than anybody really believes we are.
Yeah, the insane. Oh, go ahead.
Paul, do Brian, you have further thoughts?
That's Brian. Brian, Jim wanted to jump in.
Okay.
Well, I'm listening to Biden, and I'm thinking I don't think he's got the legal sway to pull this off. There's a Hippocratic thing that's going to come into play in some legal court, and communitarian law will be brought in, and it's not quite going to pull this off. There's Washington State troopers, firemen, and some other government entities. They're suing the Governor Inslee. This isn't going to fly. You don't have that sway yet. And when it gets into court, it's going to be exposed that the new form of global governance doesn't have the power to do this. There's a bunch of high school kids I saw this week. They're in front of a high school. They want to go to school without a mask. The principal is at the door with a mask on, and some, you know, rational, polite adult is filming in the background, and he is saying and backing up the kids. They do not legally have this mandate is a mandate. It's not law. And the principal backed down and let the kids in without the mask. And in the background, you could hear the adult doing the filming saying, now let's be polite, or whatever word he was using. This is not an Antifa 1960s. We're taking over the campus. We own it now. We've learned from these lessons. If they don't have us by the short hairs, then we can't be getting pushed around. We have to be respectful but informed. The adult clearly knew his way around a courtroom, and he said, kids, I got your back. I know more than you do. You want to go to school? There's the door. You just got to do it, you know, not in an Antifa BLM type way. And I see, you know, that's basically my comment.
Very good. Those were I was going to say those are good comments.
People get further. People get further down the pike and get more accomplished by having civil discussions. And like I said a long time ago on multiple shows, a gentleman named Savio put it very well, in the sense that in order to stop it, everybody has to lay down on the gears of this machine to bring it to a halt. And that isn't done by blowing things up and breaking windows and pooping in the middle of the floor and stuff like that. Yes, I can see people being frustrated because they have no voice and showing up and wanting to do violence, because everybody gets to that point where they've just had enough. I mean, I've even been there. But I'm not so stupid as to go in there and give them exactly what they want by utilizing myself as a crash test dummy to create even more draconian rules to take away more civil liberties, because that's where all this is going. That's where all this has been engineered to go. And every time somebody does something like throw a Molotov cocktail, which I haven't seen happen yet, but it's happened in France, it happens in Spain, it happens in other countries. When it gets to that point, yes, I'm going to say I'll support it, but we're not quite there yet. We have other tools to use other than falling right into a CIA playbook right out of Langley and doing exactly what they want, which is to generate the violence and the unrest that they need to throw the hammer down and to completely go hog shit wild and take away what little slivers and splinters of our civil liberties they haven't already destroyed with the Patriot Act, going on 20 years now. Think about it. 20 years we've lived under this constructed bullshit, it's had nothing to do with reality, and people have been willing participants in it. So we're in a boat where we don't have much time, but I compel everybody to take off your party affiliation and sit down and have civil discussions, and don't get hot-headed, but talk and come up with ways that you can, where you can actually make a difference. Because making a difference doesn't mean that you go with a bunch of idiots with guns and body armor and Trump flags to the Capitol and give the CIA exactly what they want, because they want crash test dummies in costume to play in their play. Don't give them that. Don't do it. And that's what I got to add there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's so much there to like, and then at the same time, there's so much to sort of disagree with, because didn't you make the point earlier that they don't have the force, the logistics to go door to door and house to house to vaccinate us or to do anything else? That it's all, you know, it's operating on our minds. And part of what they want to do, part of all these programs is learn helplessness. So the fact of the matter is there's only one direction we're heading, okay? We've been heading downward since 2000. I think everybody would agree. And if you go back to 1990, well, that was downward to the year 2000. And since 9/11, we've been going nowhere but down. They're not going to give up. So sooner or later, some real stuff has to get done. In other words, people have to put in work. So do we do it stupidly? No. Okay, we don't do it stupidly, but to say that we just have to sit down and have polite or civil discussions with our neighbors about stuff, I can't get behind that, because nothing's going to change. That was my problem with somebody like Trump, okay? If Trump was going to leave in power the people that control the money and control the information and control the media, what's the point of electing Trump? What's the point of voting for him? And I pretty much agree with Dennis's take on Trump, the fact that you have two choices. Either Trump is real or he's not. Okay, he's authentic or he's not authentic. Well, we have to take him at his word. So what is it that he says? And either way, you're going wrong with him. You know, it's like the old saying about you can't go wrong. Well, you go wrong either way with Trump. Okay, when you take a look at many of the things that he's said and done, if you say he's authentic, well, that's wrong. Well, if he's not authentic, then that means he's a fraud and a shill and a liar. So you lose either way. So, I mean, I agree with so many of the things in terms of the sentiments that you conveyed, but there's real stuff going down, and it's going to continue, and they're going to destroy every single vestige of a free society. That's what their goal is, and they have to be opposed, and it has to be real opposition as in the real world. Okay, so even though many of the things that we all say on these shows are true, and that there a lot of these are constructs, and there's a lot of false flags and fake things, what they're doing is real. And my take quickly, that thought occurred to me when it was asked, okay, what do you think about, you know, Joe Biden's, you know, Orwellian, you know, press conference where he announced all these things? I just had to laugh because I thought, you know, these people have no respect for us at all. They deliberately give us the most negative and transparent thing you can possibly imagine, the most insulting thing. Jim covered it himself when he talked about Kamala Harris being the lowest rated of all the vice presidential candidates, and yet she was the one that they put in there. And Joe Biden, it was obvious, you know, even if you throw away all the scandals, okay, and you look at this man, Joe Biden, I mean, he's not the kind of guy that would inspire confidence in anybody. And nobody ever attended his rallies. And so guess who's president? It's Joe Biden. These people do exactly the opposite of normal. And it's the same thing with the rest of society. And I'll bring up his name again, Miles Mathis, as he's pointed out with this whole idea with modern art. The whole thing about modern art was to destroy real art, to destroy traditional concepts of art and beauty. That's what these people are about, destruction. So I'm going to once again say this thing that I've said over and over again. It's us versus them. And I like us, and I don't like them. So thanks for hearing my thoughts on that.
You made a good point, and I'm not trying to diss anything you said, because I agree with it wholeheartedly. And the one thing I probably didn't make clear is that maybe we're beyond the point of talking, because talking means that you actually have to have an intellect to engage in the discussion. And most Americans are lacking that. The IQ points have dropped 50 or 60 points to the point where maybe they're probably no better than cockroaches. And I don't know if cockroaches get together and have discussions, you know, with their little antennae clicking against each other, but I don't think so. Maybe they do, though. But Americans are beyond discussing anything in a civil manner. But having said that, we're not going to accomplish anything by doing exactly the shit that gives them even more power and more ability to overreach and go even further. So at the risk of sounding like I'm a pacifist, which I'm not, you know, armed insurrection is not going to work unless the whole country rises up all simultaneously. And to be quite frank about it, this country doesn't have the spine to do that. It really doesn't. I don't care how many guns they say they're out there. People are basically ballless and won't do it. So it's going to require noggin versus muscle power, and that's where it's at.
Yes, I agree. Intelligence.
Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I think that both Dennis and Paul are right. I think that there are nonviolent ways to throw yourselves on the gears of the machine, and the most vital way right now is to just, you know, if you gotta find another job, if you gotta, don't take the death job. And they're trying everything to try and create this enslaved transhuman population with this nanotech inside you, this poisonous graphene oxide hydrogel, and all these other, there's cancers in that death jab. There's heavy metals, there's poisons. It's insane. And all the lies of Biden during that ridiculous press conference where he claims that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are the only healthy ones. And a caller earlier asked, what can you do with the reinfection? Well, if you get some form of the coronavirus, which is, you know, dating back to SARS how many years ago, you have a natural immunity to everything going on. Real scientists came out and said that the last 18 months, but nobody pays attention to that. And there's this mad dash to try and enslave the first world goyim cattle and get this injection in them. And, you know, there are literally crimes against humanity, mass murderers, all of them, Biden, Fauci, all the lemmings at the CDC, all the lemmings at the FDA, they are mass murdering people because they, you know, anyway, you get it.
We have another caller standing by from the 778 area code. Caller, please give us your name, just your first name and your state, and join the conversation.
Hey, it's Butch.
Hey, Butch.
Hello. Can you guys hear me? I said, Butch, I'm calling from Florida and Homestead of Florida, and watching on video game website, watching your show on the politics, and really enjoying it and trying to join the discussion.
Okay. Do you have a question for Dennis or Giuseppe or me?
Well, about in regards on the jab mandate, for the Giuseppe said in the jab you got a heavy metal, and is it in regards on music, or what do you mean on that?
Heavy metals such as aluminum, thimerosal, which is a form of mercury, and other toxic literal heavy metals, not heavy metal music.
I heard it has, I heard that the jab has ivermectin in it.
I've never heard that one. That's good.
That's what I heard. They talk about it on shows I watch, and a lot about a vaccine. They say the ivermectin and for it to be on a vaccine. But I'm trying to follow on what you guys are saying and really enjoy your show. And I'm basically exactly the type of viewer who was watching all the time. And Jim, are you feeling healthy yourself? You don't look so good on the screen. You look a little bit sick.
Oh, really? No, I've been through it, and I took ivermectin, which I think helped. No, I'm feeling 90 to 95% back. So
you look about you look like a 90 to 95 years old. Not a percent.
It can be, to be honest.
Oh, I'm so, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just I look at him. I look at you. Giuseppe looking like a normal, and Jim looking like a very old. That's all. You look like a very old. That's all.
Could I interrupt?
Baffled.
Yeah, he seems a little off topic and a slightly trollish, Jim.
Could I interrupt?
Yeah, that's my opinion. Dennis, go ahead. Give us your thoughts. We're down to the last couple minutes. We're gonna drop this guy from Florida. Go ahead,
anyway,
Dennis. Your thoughts.
I like to say that if all of us look as good as Jim does when we get to 80, we'll be lucky. You know, so he's doing very well, and I'm gonna say that what was it? A couple shows ago, he had somebody paid me a nice compliment, and Jim was beaming. You know, it was pretty funny, but I knew he was back to his normal self. And just for the record, you know, we might go at each other, every now and then, but we're on the same side. We're not trying to shoot each other in the dong. We differ on certain aspects of how to get the truth out. But we
absolutely, Dennis. I'm a huge Dennis Camino fan. Well, your presentation at the Vancouver hearings, which was one of the few that actually made it onto the air, was sensational. We do have another caller, Murr, but Murr, you're going to have to make it real. Go ahead, Murr. Murr. Up. Dennis, give us a final thought because we're just to.
There she is, Jim.
Murr.
There she is.
Wait a minute. Murr, you are there. Go ahead, Murr.
Yeah, it was busy, so I hung up and dialed in again. I wasn't going to call because you always had such a good show, but I had to counter that guy in Florida. You look gorgeous. You're doing fine.
Okay, thanks.
He was a troll. He was
I
a troll.
That.
Yeah. I'm from Jewish enclave, no doubt.
From a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the Bogdan Herzog article I've posted in all the chats again. Please read this. They're casting spells. They're doing witchcraft. And I'm going to post a picture that Snippets posted on the weekend of them draining blood for a ritual sacrifice of a young girl.
Okay. We're up again.
This is what they do. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks to all the callers, especially to Dennis. Dennis, I want you to have the last word, your final thought.
No, I'm just going to say that I'm looking forward to the other part of the show, and I'll keep my mouth shut for the time being. But it was a good call.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect,
Triangle.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was...